It's Just Politics. I'm Zoe Clark.
And I'm Rick Pluta.
And Rick, we start this week with a tale of intrigue, deception, and dare I say it, betrayal.
Yes, Zoe, a defection. We have so much to talk about. This is huge in Lansing. It hasn't happened since the 1990s. Democrats thought they had a reasonably safe seat in the 76th State House District in Grand Rapids. Competitive, but marginally Democratic, with a strong incumbent in Representative Roy Schmidt.
But then a tergiversation, a flip.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
On Tuesday, 10 minutes before the filing deadline for the August primary, State Democratic Representative Roy Schmidt from Grand Rapids changed parties. He withdrew himself from the race as a Democrat and refiled as a Republican. And at almost the exact same moment, Matt Mozak, a political unknown, and now we find out a friend of Schmidt's nephew, apparently a patsy, filed to be his Democratic opponent.
A weak, unknown opponent, almost certainly a loser in November. To Democrats, Schmidt's now a turncoat. He's been called a Judas by his fellow, I should say, his former fellow Democrats.
Republicans, however, gave the man a standing ovation at the state capitol a day after the news broke.
And Democrats are just surly and angry and wanting revenge. And a lot of them are asking, how did this happen?
Now, who approached you? Tataglia or Barzini?
This was a weeks-long project personally led by Republican House Speaker Jace Bolger. It was super secret. He negotiated with Schmidt first by phone, then it culminated in a meeting Monday night at Bolger's home. Schmidt says it was the attraction of working in the majority, and he felt Democrats weren't getting things done. He says it wasn't a big flip for him to go from being a moderate Democrat to a moderate Republican.
And Democrats are now calling for investigations. They're talking election fraud.
It appears Mr. Mozak may not have met the residency requirement to run, but that is tricky to prove. But how does a politically inexperienced 20-something respond to the possibility of legal action? Mr. Mozak abruptly withdrew his name from the ballot.
Which anyone across the state can do up until 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Now, that clears the way for a write-in campaign to put a Democratic nominee on the ballot.
And I guess it begs the question, Rick, what might the Democrats have done otherwise?
Oh, the intrigue. With a Democrat already on the primary ballot, a write-in campaign to defeat him would have been a tough slog. You'd have to get thousands of people probably to write in someone's name, spell it correctly. It's difficult to get done. But maybe the Democrats could get a candidate to file as an independent. It's not too late for that. And then throw the party's resources behind getting that candidate elected. Or run a third party, a minor party candidate. They nominate candidates at conventions. The Democrats could have made a deal to endorse and back a third party nominee against Roy Schmidt.
And right now, it is looking, though, like a write-in campaign. Might we see some Republicans who want to meddle in that?
Well, only if the engaged GOP voter wants to forego his or her right to vote in the Republican primary, which means not participating in a crowded, competitive GOP Senate primary. Five candidates. That doesn't seem likely.
Right. So, okay, are there any names floating around right now about a possible write-in candidate?
Well, I've heard former Representative and Minister Robert Dean. He made a run for the state Senate a couple years ago, didn't win. He actually has a lot of baggage with some business deals regarding a film studio. There was another state Senate candidate from the last round, David LeGrand. He might pose a challenge. He's a well-known local businessman. Whoever runs will have to live in the district. I suspect residency will be closely watched here.
Sure. So it sounds like Representative Schmidt went from the catbird seat to what could turn out now to be a pretty bitter grudge match.
I think we can expect Democrats to throw a lot at this race. And if Democrats see their chances of regaining House control slipping away, they now need to turn 10 seats to win a majority. They might throw even more into this just to extract their revenge in the 76th House District.
Okay, Rick, but we have so much more to talk about this week. 5 candidates have now filed to run in the Republican primary. That'll be in August for the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Debbie Stabenow.
That's right. 5. Former Congressman Pete Hoekstra, charter school CEO and longtime Republican activist Clark Durant. As a matter of fact, those two, Zoe, have been at the top of the marquee. It's been seen as largely a two-way race there. But but Gary Glenn turned in more signatures than anyone. Glenn is well known for his crusades against gay rights, domestic partner benefits, adoption rights, things like that, and his co-authorship of the amendment banning same-sex marriage or civil unions. As a matter of fact, he thinks that the current controversy over gay marriage now gives him an edge.
So Gary Glenn also has the backing of a faction of Michigan's Tea Party movement. A coalition of Tea Party organizations endorsed him at a Tea Party convention.
And he says that's a big reason why he did so well. There is a controversy within the movement. Some Tea Partiers say they are part of a movement that espouses principles and works for candidates that follow them. But endorsements are for political parties, not movements. So Gary Glenn is now also a lightning rod within his own coalition.
And let's mention the two other candidates. There's Randy Heckman. He is a former judge from Grand Rapids. He's been in the running for about a year now. And Peter Konecny, now he's a businessman from Roscommon, and that's in northern Lower Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Now, their challenge is going to be getting attention in a crowded field. Hoekstra and Durant have benefited so far from their mano-a-mano rivalry. NPR's Washington bureau chief Ron Elving once observed that the media wants a two-person race for the purposes of allocating time and resources. The public can focus on a two-person race. He says the media and the public will tolerate a three-person race. So it's going to be a fight to see who can break through the ceiling and whether Gary Glenn can win the respect he says he deserves because of his big signature filing.
Right. We should mention, though, that these signatures aren't official yet. The petitions still need to be vetted and certified right before the August primary ballot is official.
Exactly. A lot of interesting primary challenges in the offing, but we noticed in the filing that one veteran, venerable member of Michigan's congressional delegation could be in trouble before he even makes the ballot. And maybe the question is if Congressman John Conyers of Detroit, who has served in the House since 1965, will make it.
Right. Conyers filed his nominating petition this week. But according to the record kept by the Michigan Secretary of State, he barely made the threshold to qualify. Right. It takes at least 1,000 signatures. He has turned in 1,051.
Right. A slim cushion. And Conyers is facing an aggressive primary race. Two state senators, Burt Johnson and Glenn Anderson, state representative Chanel Jackson, are among those who are hoping to unseat Conyers. Normally, an incumbent like Conyers would benefit from a crowded primary, would split the contrarian vote. But if those opponents can disqualify 52 of those names, and you know those petitions are going to be fly-specked, that changes the landscape. It becomes an open seat.
It sort of just changes all of Michigan politics since 1965. The Conyers name has been part of the Michigan delegation.
Well, and it's been a part of Michigan politics that there's been a lot of controversy. There's, you know, his wife, Monica Conyers, is in prison right now.
Not one to skirt controversy.
Yeah, you know, it's part of a payoff scandal that dates back to when she was on the Detroit City Council.
Yeah.
His son was caught improperly using Conyers' congressional vehicle. That it has not been a great couple of years for the Conyers name.
So obviously we'll be keeping an eye to see how that plays out. Meanwhile, in the state house, some Democrats have been thrown into primaries as a result, of course, of the much-watched redistricting.
It's what happens when Republicans draw the lines. The marquee fight will be Representatives Lesia Liss versus John Switalski in Macomb County. Those are both big local names there.
And that's just the county that keeps giving and giving for our political entertainment.
Thank you, Macomb County.
Thank you, Macomb County. Now, in Detroit, Maureen Stapleton faces Rashida Tlaib, John Alumba versus Jimmy Womack. Those will be fights, certainly. Representative Lisa Howes will forego a primary battle to run instead for mayor of Detroit.
And in Genesee County, a battle between two big political families. Pam Ferris, who is married to former Lieutenant Governor John Cherry, is running for the state house against Patrick Shorty Gleason, a well-known union official there and cousin to State Senator John Gleason.
I feel sort of like we're giving sports scores here. It's kind of fun. And let's continue. Former State Senator Jim Berryman, who ran for the Democratic nomination for governor a few years ago, will attempt a political comeback in southern Michigan. That's if he can win a primary against Harvey Schmidt from Tecumseh.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing a few comeback attempts. 82-year-old John Maynard of Macomb County will try to reclaim his old House seat. Maynard is actually somewhat famous for a speech he delivered a long, long, long time ago, where during a late night session, he basically just kept asking
why,
Mr. Speaker, for something like 10 minutes until everyone was shouting it with him. And it kicked off a tradition that lasted for many, many, many years in the state house of yelling along whenever someone asked why during a debate.
And this, in fact, has continued, right? Even though there are probably certain representatives who don't even know why they're saying why.
It was generational that people were doing it long after they knew why they were doing it. It's largely petered out by now, and maybe he wants to come back and reestablish it.
Meanwhile, former Representative Sarah Roberts, who lost the seat in the last election, is also in that primary.
Now, a grudge match in the 70th House District. But not in the primary. In the general election, former Representative Mike Huckleberry has filed and will attempt to avenge his loss 2 years ago to Republican Rick Outman. They are both hard workers, and that could certainly be a battle. And in Traverse City, the Tea Party is flexing its muscle and has thrown a challenger against State Representative Wayne Schmidt.
No, not that name again.
No relation to Roy Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
But Wayne Schmidt is also a moderate Republican who has sometimes tested the limits of the Republican tent.
And finally, Rick, it is Friday afternoon, and you are on your way to Detroit.
For the Republican State Convention.
What is going to happen?
That national delegates will be selected for the Republican National Convention this summer. We are hearing inklings that maybe some Ron Paul supporters might try to claim some of the uncommitted delegates. And officially, they have to be uncommitted when they head to Tampa. And we will see probably a floor fight over the two Republican National Committee slots. Saul Anouz is facing a challenge from State Representative Dave Ajima, and former Secretary of State Terry Lynn Land is trying to unseat National Committee woman and State Representative Holly Hughes.
We will keep listeners to It's Just Politics up to date on all of those happenings that are happening in Detroit tomorrow.
You betcha.
Rick Pluta is Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network.
And Zoe Clark is Michigan Radio's resident political junkie.